webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for April 28th, 2016, broadcasting from the home of Redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. And here from Houston, Texas, is our great unteacher, the Heretic's Hope, the Preacher's Paradox, and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Good morning, Mr. Williams. How are you, sir?
You actually say April the 28th?
Mate, it was, I remember that we just did our Easter broadcast, and before that, what, was it a week before that? I think we did our Christmas one.
Yeah, and then 5 days before that, it was Thanksgiving, and the month before that, it was New Year's, 2015. Whoa.
This life races ahead.
It does indeed, and we're on for the ride, though, right?
And enjoying it.
And that's what we want you to do, folks. We want you to enjoy the ride. So come along for this ride, because Barris and I are going to go down some hippity-hop trails, maybe some straight paths, maybe some crooked ones. And if you know me, probably a couple of rabbit holes. And Barris could grab me by the ears and pull me back out. And you'll hear this bunny scream, because I like going down my rabbit trails. So here we are. Barris, we've just gone through in Houston, Texas. I survived a 500-year flood right over my house. I mean, this one of the many epicenters of this storm took place right over my area here in Northwest Houston. But I don't live in a floodplain, so
20 million houses without electricity. I mean, and you were one of them.
I was one of those, and I spent the first night without power, but the second night I decided I was going to a motel so I could hook my CPAP machine up and breathe while I was sleeping.
Mate, we Americans are so damn soft, aren't we? I was thinking, I mean, just not having air conditioning, it would kill me now.
I know, yeah.
What's with that?
So how's everything there in your neck of the woods?
Oh,
no,
mate.
No 500-year anything?
Thankfully, no, but we're as busy as a one-armed paper hanger, mate. I'm going.
You're in the big move, aren't you?
I'm in the middle of the move, and I'm doing a couple of trailer loads a week now, and I'll be down there 2-3 days a week. By the time I get through painting and a few other things, it's going to be I'm going to be looking for a vacation. Are you open?
I bet you will. I'll go somewhere.
I see that you dodged that bullet. Hey, mate, this week I can't tell you how gratified I was. Now, you know young Barry Laney out of Cullman, Alabama.
Yep.
And he's been in the center, on the fringes, all the way in and out of the Gospel Revolution for, I don't know, must be 20 years. He and all of our friends down there in Cullman that I'm going to be joining, and he, I just saw that he started on Facebook another group to send money to a group of Filipino kids. Now, the reason I'm quoting this is because I cannot tell you how proud of Barry I was for this reason. He's been God in the earth to people. He's saying, look, I've tried having a forum for a discussion of the gospel. I've tried this. I've tried the other things. And this is one thing I know I can do. I can be God to these kids in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I just loved it. And I'm gonna join it. I'm going to do whatever I can to help him grow that little group. But that reminds me, we're in the middle of a pledge drive ourselves.
We are indeed, and for the very same purpose. We're reaching out to people around the planet with the gospel, who's inspiring people to do things just like this. Barris?
Barry's talking about what can you do? I mean, just give up that Mountain Dew or that Coke you're going to have. Uh-huh. A buck a day, just a buck a day. I mean, really, that adds up. It becomes, if everyone that hears this just gave a buck a day.
Yeah, and there's one thing I'm sure with Barry's organization and with this organization, folks, the wonderful thing about it is that you're not going to have 80% of it going to the administration cost.
Oh, doesn't that? I mean, that just drives me bananas. That's why I don't give to charities anymore.
So, yeah, whatever you give to us and also to Barry Laney to help these kids.
Family, I want to tell you, you send a dollar to the Gospel Revolution. I'll tell you how much is going to hit the ground running in Africa or in Southeast Asia. Probably 110 cents.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get anything like 80 or 90 or 50 cents hitting the ground running. You're going to get 100 cents every out of every dollar hitting the ground running and making a difference where it really counts. And the reason I say 110 cents, sometimes we send money of our own. Michael plenty of times has sent money of his own when he didn't have any other money to send. So you can be absolutely certain. We may not be able to say we'll add our dollar to every dollar you send, but what you put into this pledge drive helps the gospel get out around the world, and I know that you want that.
It does indeed. And thank you guys so very much. We appreciate it. We never, ever... regardless of how few or how many participate in these little pledge drives, Barris, it's always the turning point for us. Even though things have gotten much better, which we've been very glad to report to people, that the strain of this financially is way less than it used to be. The debt burden is gone. That's just gone. And now we're working with a budget that stays within budget to where that everything is paid off every month. But we do have to have these quarterlies. So far, we're still needing the quarterlies until our monthlies come up to clear off the books altogether and to be able to continue doing what we're doing and expand what we're doing. So what we need to do is hear from my friend Jeff. What's been going on this week, Jeff?
Well, thanks, Mike. Before I read the names of the people who have given thus far, I have a very important announcement to most of our listeners. So most of you, you're listening right now. I need to let you know something. I've been saying in the past couple of weeks that our Podbean site, we were going to end that at the end of April. So any of you who have subscribed through our Podbean service, you will no longer get your notifications or downloads through Podbean. And now, because so many of you are still using Podbean, we've had to extend it one more month. So we will be using Podbean and GospelRevolution.com for the next month of May. But after that, absolutely after that, as of June 1st, the only subscription service you will be able to use is through our listing on GospelRevolution.com. So if you are an iTunes user and that's how you've subscribed on our Podbean broadcast, you need to go to GospelRevolution.com and click the feed there, or go to iTunes Store and search for Gospel Revolution on there and subscribe to our new listing on the iTunes Store, or same for you folks with Google Play Music. Go to the Google Play store and look for our new listing on Google Play, because the Podbean listing will no longer be on those stores after June 1st. It will be taken down, and because we're only going to broadcast on our own website. That's part of the reason why we redesigned GospelRevolution.com, was so we have everything under one roof. All our videos, all our articles, all of our podcasts are all under one roof now. GospelRevolution.com. Go there, subscribe, or whatever podcasting service you use, go there, click on the RSS feed link at the bottom of the website. It will trigger whatever service you're using, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, or some third-party service, and that will that will resubscribe you to our new website, because we won't be using Podbean as of June 1st. And then I know there are a few also who are going to the Podbean website and listening to it straight from that website. That website will not be used as of June 1st. You will find everything at gospelrevolution.com. The podcast is not going away. We are going on, but we are going on our own website from now on, gospelrevolution.com. So, after that public service announcement, I can now give you the names of the people who have given so far in this pledge drive, starting off with Lee Dick in Kelowna, British Columbia, John Van Sickle in Lady Lake, Florida, Brad and Holly Wilson in Queen Creek, Arizona, Pastor Ted Winsett in Decatur, Alabama, and his dear wife, Pastor Pat Winsett, also of Decatur, Alabama, John Delita in Elmer, New Jersey, Richard and Pat Salonen in Laurium, Michigan, Robert Collier in Longview, Texas, Walter Wilson in Selma, Alabama, Grant Miller in North Manchester, Indiana, Patty Holzclaw in Lexington, Kentucky, Billy Thompson in Wachuca City, Arizona, Cookie Davy Duck in Castor, Alberta, Muriel Alexandrowski in North Palm Beach, Florida, Pep Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin, Mike and Joyce Camelotis in Mesa, Arizona, Paul Viggers in New Milton, Hampshire, the United Kingdom, Bud and Ruth Ramsey in Park River, North Dakota, Tom Tonsky in Canton, Ohio, Bernie Rouse in Cadillac, Michigan, Carrie and Rita Waitman in Whitehall, Montana, Derek Hensel in Dover, New Hampshire, Tom and Linda Wilby in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Robert Hines in McDonough, Georgia, Mike Turry in Pennsylvania, Phyllis Schultz in Vernon, British Columbia, Rick Breeden in New Berlin, Wisconsin, LeVon Schwartz in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Greg Savoy in Allen, Texas, Anonymous in Edmonton, Alberta, Suzanne Johnson in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, and Alan Terry in Spokane, Washington. And that rounds out our list. The pledge drive will continue through the weekend, so please let me know, get in contact with me, call me at 321-220-4373, or donate at gospelrevolution.com.
And again, regardless of the amounts or the number of people, it's always encouraging. And guys, we do appreciate it. Thank you so very much. We'll be continuing just for a little while longer on this pledge drive. We would be very grateful to increase our monthlies drastically. We've increased them some on this pledge drive. But with the monthlies, the total of those and the one times, we really need to reach 10,000 on this pledge drive. And, you know, we've had pledge drives that we've reached 40,000 and better on pledge drives. So this is just, you know, we're not shooting for the moon or the stars. We just need a good little boost here at this point. So
let me remind you what every new donor. Now, if you're listening and you have never given into the Gospel Revolution, well, I'm going to guess that you're deciding that you've received no good from this podcast. But if you think you've received any good at all from this podcast, let me remind you what every new donor will get. Every new donor will get a pharisectomy certificate stating that their inner Pharisee has been removed with surgical precision by the master and teacher himself, Mike Williams. Every monthly pledge of between $10 and $50 will be awarded with, and come on now, look, let's say $40 a month. It's only $10 a week. It's less than a couple of packets of cigarettes. Every monthly pledge of between $10 and $50 will be awarded with official sponsor certificates. You can hang these up on the wall. Look very good, just even better than the pharisectomy certificates, in my opinion. Every monthly pledge of over $50 a month will be awarded with official producer certificates. These are real producerships, and we will authenticate and endorse those producerships whenever we're asked. You can put producer on your business cards, use its authentic value wherever these endorsements are accepted. Now, when you look at a TV show and you see the credits go up the screen, you'll see producer, executive producer, a line producer and so forth. These are people who generally give money. Sometimes it'll be other things, but generally they're the people who helped fund that show. And what you're doing is helping to fund what we want to do with the gospel, getting it out around the world. And that's why these are real authentic producerships. Every monthly pledge of over $150 a month or $1,800 annually will be awarded with official executive producer certificates. These carry the same weight as a producer certificate. And again, you can use the title in your resume and make sure you get it printed on your business cards as well.
Amen.
Boom, boom.
Amen.
Boom, boom.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Now, Michael, what are we talking about this week?
Well, we've been dealing, Ferris, with the issue that has been around for about 10 years. I am just releasing an article on this, so make sure you watch for yours. This article is going to be nearly 10 pages in length in covering this topic, and we really want you to get a hold of this, print out a copy if you want. Scratch it up, make some notes, ask some questions, because this is what I would call a fairly major release from Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution.
I've had the pleasure of seeing through this, and it is a major release because it nails something.
Exactly. And I think it's a very important point to bring home, and it does deal with this issue of God being angry or not, or jealous or wrathful or any of these things. So we just look through the scriptural logic of that. Now, the thing that I, of course, offer up to our listeners and to anyone is that nobody has to agree with this, Barris. For the gospel to be true, it's still true whether anybody agrees with me or anyone, especially with this.
You mean if I don't agree with this, am I still in line for that pay rise in 2021?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I just knew that.
But it may be for other reasons other than that. So. The realization of this, I think it's vital to the story. My perspective of the gospel is based in what the scriptures say. I am unimpressed with myself or anyone else who can find a verse here or a verse there that says this or that and surgically tie them together.
Did you ever see that movie Frankenstein?
Of course, yeah.
Well, it's sort of like a Frankenstein gospel. Yeah, it's a liver from here, a kidney from there, an arm from here, an eyeball.
It is indeed, and it's quite scary also. Scarier than the real Frankenstein, actually, and probably a lot more harmful, potentially, to a lot of people's lives.
And did you ever notice a Frankenstein looking at himself never found himself to be unusual? Or bad, or
is that,
weird.
Is that why we got to point it out? So, yeah, Barris just explained why we have to help Christianity, who has a whole bunch of really sweet, precious Christians that are involved in it, that there's something that's just not kosher here. And we offer it to you to think about, you know. Goodness gracious, this is not as though that myself or Barris knew this all of our lives.
Now, when we say we offer this for you to think about, what we're really saying is we want you to think for yourselves.
Yes. But the nice thing about it is, Barris, while you're thinking for yourself, you don't have to think by yourself.
There's a great comfort in that. At least there is to me. I don't know if that proves that I'm weak-minded, but I do like to be able to think for myself in concert with other people who are thinking for themselves.
Exactly. I don't think it is a sign of weakness. I think it's a sign of strength that we would submit our thoughts to the thoughts of others. What do you think? So think for yourself, but don't feel like you have to think by yourself. In fact, if you're thinking by yourself, you may not be thinking for yourself in the healthiest of ways.
you know, every, or it's like the rapture. The rapture came about because a 14, 15-year-old girl thought for herself, by herself, and passed it on to somebody else called John Nelson Darby, who thought for himself, by himself. And now you have the rapture theory, and crikey.
Yes. So thinking for yourself is to be lauded, but thinking by yourself is lacking. So think along with others. Think with people that disagree with you. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It is quite all right to do your thinking with others, even if they don't agree with you.
When you think of all of the great inventors, thinkers, philosophers, religious leaders, they all did this way. They never went out into the desert just to think by themselves.
Right.
But they stayed in society thinking for themselves, listening to what other people said and then deciding, no, or yes. But they were always in society making things happen and stirring things up that way, like, say, Tesla.
Yeah, thinking for yourself but not by yourself.
Yep.
It is one of the best formulas for your own personal growth. At least that's what I have found, Bears. I would say that that's been one of the differences for me, is that I have thought for myself, but I have not thought by myself. I've had the wonderful opportunity of having other people to think with. And it's been a good journey. I have a lot of people I think with. And if it's going to be a good evening for me, it's going to be, come on over, let's think together. So that really is a very fun evening for me. I warn people before they ever come around my house, I'm a very boring person. If you don't get a whole lot of fun out of thinking together, then we probably aren't going to have a whole lot of fun around the Williams household.
Okay, Mike, last week I think we covered, let me see, Exodus 20. Let's just pick up at Exodus 20 verse off. The first few verses. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that's in heaven above or any or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now, that's interesting because they said to Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? Did he sin or his parents? So they had a good reason to ask that, and then Jesus said, don't be ridiculous. It happened for a totally different reason. So, and then in verse 6, he says, I showed mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. That sure sounds to me like conditional love.
You know, one of the things that jumped out at me as we're reading through this is that the second commandment here in this list is to not make unto yourself any graven images. And then in the very next verse, he says, not to bow down yourself to these images. Don't make images. Don't serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. All right. Now, I think it's interesting to at least note that God just told us not to do what he did and announced his jealousy that ensued afterwards. Now, we're just going to take the story for the story. This is the way the story is told. And what the story is God's telling people, don't create an image after yourself or anything. Don't even make a donkey out of straw. You know, don't. If anybody can make a donkey that looks like a donkey out of straw, I'd say more power to you. But God said don't do it because it creates problems. Now, is God making any reference to his own situation? Because the fact is that God created us in his image. And then tells us, don't do this when God himself did it.
Do like I say, not like I do.
Exactly. Now, the interesting thing is he follows up that statement about images and their effect. He said, because I'm jealous. Well, that is a dynamic if you're not one. If you're not one, there is the potential of becoming jealous. Mm-hmm. If you're not one, there's the potential of anger. There's a whole lot of things that are potential, but the potentiality and eventuality, if you will, of jealousy comes out of being in the image of.
Well, you need to be careful here, Michael. Have you checked the Hebrew on that word yet?
No, I haven't. In likeness.
Well, that word jealous, in Hebrew, it means jealous.
So a Hebrew jealous is the same as a good old American jealous, huh?
Sounds like.
Well, I'm glad that we have the Hebrew to back us up. One of the things that proceeds out of this stance that God was never angry is that, you know, people assume that because we believe that the cross was it wasn't reparative. Here is the thing, folks. See, Christianity teaches that the cross was reparative. I don't preach that the cross was reparative. I teach that the cross was a creation of a whole new thing.
So,
it destroyed the old. It did not repair it.
So at the cross, the common thought goes, God took us back to the potential of being in Eden again. Or
yes.
That would happen down the road, but he opened the door to the possibility.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is pretty much the Christian concept, is that this redemption takes us back. It erases the hard drive, if you will, between us and God.
That's good.
And restores the system. Well, if all he did is restore the system of the image, then we are still subject to corruption. But the whole new covenant is the fact that we are no longer corruptible. You're not corruptible, folks. Oh, my gosh. I just wish that I could shout that loud enough or say it in the words to where that it would sink in to the degree that it needs to be understood. Because whether people believe that God is still angry or the folks that believe that God was never angry, they all seem to fall into a category that misses this new creation. And that is that the cross was not reparative.
Yes, the old creation, to some degree, included the concept of Judaism. The new creation, according to most people that I know in Christianity, is actually just Judaism plus Jesus.
Yes, that is what this does. It's just it's a marriage of old and new. There is no such thing as a marriage of old and new. One has to be done away with for the new to survive. Paul made that very clear. Jesus made that very clear. This utter destruction of the old. Most all religions function from the concept that man is in God's image. This is a divergence that away from traditional Christian thinking, religious thinking, that man is in God's image. You will hear every religion will create that. But I'm here to tell you, we used to be in God's image, and we are no longer in the image of God.
Well, if we were still in God's image, what would be the point of a new creation?
Well, that's the point. And that's why there is a seemingly logical process that if we are still in God's image, then this has to diminish the cross. It has to diminish the importance of the cross. Because when we try to understand the cross as a reparative event to repair the relationship,
patch up a hole.
Yes, patch up the old things. You know, and Jesus said that's not possible. You can't sew a new piece of cloth onto an old garment. That's just not. That's not what it's here about. We weren't here to patch up the holes in the garment. We were here. Jesus came to destroy the old and to create the new.
New wine, new wine skins.
This is the comparisons that we get. So this is a very important point in the gospel revolution that in its understanding sets it apart from any point of reference that all others have, because we no longer see man as being in the image of God. The moment that you fail to see that that image was destroyed, the moment that you fail to do that, you are going to begin to adapt reparative theologies to help this thing along.
Now, let me ask you a question, Mike. Of all of the groups that you knew in the past, and I knew a few, between us, we knew probably a lot of the groups that would be considered the movers and shakers in the modern Christian world. Of all those groups, which one do you remember that taught that the new creation, that Paul called it, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, that the new creation actually had nothing about the old creation in it? Which group would you remember?
None. And not only did none embrace that the new includes none of the old, none of them ever introduced the thought that it was the whole world and not an individual thing. And that indeed is what sets the gospel revolution apart from these other doctrines. Because not only is it a new creation minus the old, death to the old even. Paul and Jesus both put it in so many good terms of total annihilation. But also, not only to the annihilation of the old, but that the fact that the new creation is not a personal experience. That's what caused me more discouragement because, see, as a young Baptist boy, they told me that the moment I confessed my sins and asked for forgiveness and invited Jesus in, I would become a new creation. Old things would pass away. Behold, all things about Mike Williams would become new. Well, the only way I could stick with that story, Barris, was to become a liar.
Didn't work for me either.
You know, now people do get upset with me for saying that to be a good Christian, you must become a good liar. There is just no other option. But you see, this is why I say this, because if the new creation, the validation of a new creation is that everything about Mike Williams changes, everything old about me, my sex, drugs, rock and roll, fill in the blanks for yourself, if that doesn't all change, all of my thoughts change from bad thoughts to good thoughts, from negative thoughts to positive thoughts, from dirty thoughts to benign, non-sexual thoughts, unless all of that changes, then there is the implication that I really am not a new creation. I'm not saved.
Well, also, I remember back in, now we didn't call it Word of Faith days, but it was Word of Faith in back in Australia, Christian Outreach Centre, Assemblies of God and so forth.
Yes.
We were taught to speak the word, put the word in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now that meant if you're unhappy, you would say, I am full of joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
For clinical depression, it didn't work.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Yeah.
Now, all of those song services and that made us feel good. I mean, how can you not feel good when you're singing?
Yeah.
Particularly something, you know, nice and jumpy. But when we had to put the words into our mouths that, and what we did was we said that we call those things that are as, oh, that are not as if they are.
When in fact
we did the opposite. What it made us was liars. I mean, it didn't matter. Even the purest mind in that culture was a liar because we had to say the stuff that was going to eventually come to pass in our lives. We had to speak it into existence.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are. It's a bloody lie.
It's a lie, and not only that, it's a verse out of context. I was a teacher in this, in Word of Faith American style. Call those things that be not as though they were, as I've said in the article, it's one of the single verses on which all things pivot. And I never will forget, as I'd already become a pastor, and I was reading through this again, and I swear I thought somebody had printed another Bible and shoved it in front of me.
Mm.
Because I always taught that Paul was teaching us to call those things that be not as though they were. And what it says, it's talking about God, who calleth those things that be not as though they were. Well, my goodness, if we're going to do that, then why don't we just create new worlds then? Why don't we follow through with that? And by calling those things that be not as though they were, why don't we have the following results that God had? Well, it's a sham. It's a farce, folks. Let me tell you, it was a farce.
And what we're drawing attention to here is either there is a new creation or there is not a new creation.
Mm-hmm. One or the other.
Yeah. If you want to have Judaism plus Jesus, I had a very strong discussion with somebody the other day about why I've left Christianity, and I don't consider Christianity to be worth spending any more time on. And the defense arguments that people come up with are unbelievable, but they all point to one thing. I cannot turn my back on that which I have been inculcated to believe in. I've been told that I've got no salvation outside of this. Now, this happens with sects, J-dubs or brethren, but Christianity does it also as a whole.
It does indeed, yeah.
If you leave us, you've left God.
Yeah.
No, when I left Christianity, I didn't leave God. I ran to God.
Exactly. And it, a whole lot of this evolves, Barris, from the thing that people assume that because we embrace the Bible, we embrace the scriptures, we embrace the life of Christ, because we embrace that, they think we embrace the terminology that after the Garden of Eden, that man was separated from God. That's where the story gets all screwed up. They say that God separated himself from man. Well, God didn't separate himself from man, and man was not separated from God. I'm sure when he was ticked off and killing their goats or whatever it was, the sin and flies, I bet they would have loved to have been separated from God, but they weren't.
And the ancient Israelis were exactly the same as the rest of the world in this respect. If they had bad weather, or if they didn't have enough rain and so they couldn't plant their crops and their crops didn't grow, they blamed the gods for it. This is why the Greeks and every ancient civilization had a gazillion gods. They had a god for the harvest and a god for the, I don't know, for Monday, Tuesday. In fact, the very names of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Woden, the god Woden. Thursday, the god Thor, the god of thunder. I mean, even our January, February, March, all of our months and days are named after ancient gods. Mm. And so the Jews were not alone in this respect. If something bad had happened, then God must have it in for us.
Yes.
And do you think sometimes he did?
It sure looks like it. But I think what we're beginning to hyper-focus on in the process of this is this fact. The new creation, what we are now together with God, never was manifested before the cross.
Was there any inkling of it before the cross?
There was many types and shadows of it. Even the marriage that was proposed by God himself is a type and shadow of this point to where that the two would become one.
So in just like five or six words, what would be the best, most succinct description or definition of the new creation?
The two became one. There is one entity now. And that is the heart and soul of this gospel revolution. And what and how that helps us is the power of the gospel, because the gospel is nothing more than a story. We're having to do a little bit more editing because the way that one of my paragraphs shows up is not clear about the fact that the work of the cross gave us that relationship with God that is called one. The gospel doesn't make us one with God. The gospel doesn't make you righteous. The gospel doesn't take away sin. The gospel doesn't do anything. It is a story, but it's also a story that just happens to be the power of God. Now that freaks me out and thrills me to the bone at the same time. How can a story bear us? A story is the power of God.
That's exactly what Barry Laney is doing, you know.
Yes.
The story of his oneness with God has convinced him that he can actually be God in the earth and do something of
value. Exactly. And which we encourage and promote. So, but think of that, folks. Now, before, under the old, to see the power of God, we had to see a Red Sea part. Under the old, even the creation of the world, the stars and the moon, we had to see, axe head float off the bottom of a pond. We had to see locusts descend on Egypt. But now the power of God, think of any scenario where in the old it was demonstrated in a open way that was the power of God. Please, please get this. The power of God is now a story. So what is the most important thing? Let's get the story right. Even if I don't understand all the story, I'm not going to read Charles Dickens and say, well, you know, I really don't like this part here about where the little boy winds up in poverty. Little boys in poverty and people being mean to them, I just can't wrap my head around that. Well, I'm sorry. That's part of the story, and it helps you understand the end of the story. So what we're encouraging here, let's find the story, not a verse out of context. Let's find the story. Why are we reading what we're reading? Because it's part of the story. Look what we just saw. That it is defining, possibly defining, part of the story is that God said, don't create anything in your own image or anything in an image after itself, because I'm jealous. Was the jealousy something that ensued after creating something in its image? My goodness. Well, it sure seems that the only thing that eradicates jealousy from us, between us, is that we understand that we are one. I don't know of anything else that does it, unless you're just trying to be humble or whatever attempt it might be. But this is very powerful. This story is the power of God. So all we're wanting to do is present the story.
Gospel Revolution.
So, Mike, it sounds to me like you're saying that there was some kind of a progression in the relationship between God and man.
Well, Barrett, it sure is in the story now, intended or unintended, determined or undetermined, is undetermined yet, at least for a lot of people. We don't even need, but here's the powerful thing. We don't need to figure that out. We need the story. The story is what's powerful about this, and we're going to be learning for the rest of our days and got questions about a million things. I still have questions that I don't even dare voice because, I mean, they're so weird you wouldn't even – see, I just stirred up everybody's what is it that
– You know it.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Maybe you'll hear them someday, and maybe you won't. But I'll guarantee you, I'm thinking for myself. But I've got some other heretics that are not allowing me to think by myself. So We'll get through this, that's for sure. And that's one thing that people do know about me that are close to me, Barris, is that I do think for myself, but I don't think by myself. And I always run things by people. I love saying, you know, well, what do you think about this? Or just inviting other people's views into the situation. Because, the worst thing that could happen when you do that is that you'd learn something. Now, wouldn't that just be a tragedy? But, yes, it seems as though that there is a process in this. At least there's a record of it. Of a process. But first off, I want you to understand there is no place that I can find, maybe others can find it, where that God and man separated because of what happened at the cross. The problem wasn't a separation. The problem seems to be that man was in God's image. So now the reason I say that's what the problem seems to be is because that is what was truly eradicated at the cross. It wasn't just the law that was eradicated. It wasn't just the old covenant that was eradicated. God's first creation was eradicated, Barris. Now that's just amazing.
Now, probably what makes that difficult for people to fully grasp is the fact that it sure looks, I mean, the people who were walking around before the cross in Jerusalem looked exactly the same the next day.
Exactly.
You know, so maybe that's what makes it difficult for people to grasp.
It is. Now, if we look at this new creation in a 2,000-year protracted way, we begin to see some evidence that God and man very well may be one now. Just by looking at what, quote, man has accomplished, the technology. Now, I realize we've done some pretty horrible things, too. But just look at technology. Look where we've come to. Oh, goodness, the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead. There's people walking around today that 50 years ago would be dead. Because of events that happened to them, whether it be heart attacks or strokes or whatever. And so every day in hospitals around this world, compared to 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 500 years ago, we're raising people from the dead every day in every hospital around the country. You know, and sometimes even in your own home.
You know, Jesus even said, the things that I do, you'll do greater.
Well, and goodness,
do you think that that's what he was referring to?
Well, it's a real possibility because we certainly are doing way more miracles than Jesus did. Look how many people that we are giving them their sight back. You know, spectacles, which you have hanging on your nose and I do too, weren't even a thing in Jesus's time.
Mm.
So look at how many people we. And now you can do surgery on the eye to remove cataracts. You can restore the vision right straight back to the way it was.
Randy French has just had two. What they did is they took out the lenses of his eye.
Yes.
And they put in two fake lenses.
Absolutely. Two good ones. Ones that ain't going to grow old. Now, Randy will never have cataracts because cataracts grow on human lenses. So not only does it repair his eyesight, but he now is, there's certain things that are prohibitive of other diseases of the eye that can't happen because this is an artificial lens and nothing can grow on it. So it's amazing. Now we're just talking about the eyeball. We could take every piece and part of the body.
Now where into this whole process, this evolution of God, where does that fit?
Well, this process... which let me make sure that we tell the end of the story, because the story is important. I want you to know the end of the story, and that is that all of this process is now over. There is no more process. There's no more working in, working to a plan, an unfulfilled plan, an unfulfilled purpose in any of this. The purpose has been completely accomplished in making God and man one. So, but in the process of this, the story seems to be very important for us to understand and adhere to. Keep the story. We can ask questions about the story, but don't throw the story away just because we find parts of it that we don't particularly care about. We don't need to sanctify God. Why is it so difficult? If God could cause us to become holy and righteous and perfect and without fault, even if we did murder, even if we did do acts that were terrible to ourselves and to others, and that's what we profess here at the Gospel Revolution, and many other people are beginning to understand and have understood this, that regardless of what we do, we're still holy and righteous. But you see, Barris, we're having to reach back and sanctify God based on works. God was righteous and holy. Don't tell me, oh, God just couldn't have done that. Well, we can do it and still be holy and righteous. Why couldn't God have done it and still be holy and righteous and perfect? Hasn't he bestowed upon us his very nature and that nature of incorruptibility? The power of God being able to be angry, the power of God being able to be jealous, vengeful, wrathful, and never lose his righteousness, never lose his holiness, never lose his perfection. That is what he has stamped into us now. It is indeed us now. So we have this counterpart. I can understand how I could be righteous and holy, even though my works don't measure up, by even looking at God and say, wow, isn't that amazing? God was angry, wrathful, jealous, vengeful. He did not become unholy. He did not become unrighteous. So, folks, we don't have to go back and sanctify God. God doesn't need our sanctification.
You know, we humans like to... who was it said, was it Voltaire that said that God created man in his own image and man returned the favor? We like to anthropomorphize God by giving him human attributes. For example, we give God moral attributes. God killed, then that must be morally wrong, so God couldn't possibly have killed, so we must reject that God. But in fact... The word holy, all through the Bible, from beginning to end, simply means set apart. Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it means to be set apart. This can of Coke that I'm holding up right here, this is holy unto me. It is set apart unto me. It is my can of Coke. I'll be drinking it, and it is set apart. Holy, that's what it means. Righteous does not mean morally right.
Oh, preach it, brother.
Righteous means simply that everything's square and the relationship is perfect. Now, doesn't mean that your actions are perfect, doesn't mean that you're perfect, because the moment you call it that, you are putting your own moral compass over onto God or over onto righteousness. And our moral compass is too screwed up to put onto anything called a right relationship or anything called set apart. So holiness, righteous. God could be holy and righteous. That doesn't make him God. What makes him God is he's got all the damn power. God's got all the power. If Satan had it, he'd have been God.
Yes. And now he's bestowed that power, the fullness of his power, into what's called the gospel. Now that's wild to me. My goodness, that is wild. That all of that power now is a story. I can't get past it, Barris. The power of God is now a story. The power of God is now a story. It is only a story, but it's a story that happens to be the power of God.
Now, family, we had a fellow called Bernie who used to be with us, and I don't think he's with us anymore, because he wrote us and said, all you ever do is ask for money. You're always begging for money. Listen, Bernie, I'm kind of glad you're not with us in a way, because we don't have to put up then now with your negative attitude about the fact. You want to know why we're asking for money? Because the power of this story can change the world. It changed you, Bernie. It changed you, Bernie, because you came into it. You got the power of the story. The power of the story took over you. It cleaned your mind up. It transformed your mind, Romans 12:1. It changed you, and your stinking thinking. It gave you a checkup from the neck up. And, Bernie, then when it got too much for you and you didn't want to pass it on to others by throwing your hand in your pocket for a dollar a day. Now, I'm going down this rabbit hole because we're in the middle of a pledge drive. But we want you to know, for crying out loud, the power of this story.
Yeah.
This is what is mind transforming. This is what makes Barry Laney say, I'm going to stick my hand in my pocket. I'm a family man and I need every buck I've got, but I'm going to stick my hand in my pocket to put flip-flops on the feet of these kids in the Philippines, and they think they're richer than Santa Claus now. This is the power that can change our and it doesn't affect your moral compass.
No, exactly.
What it does is it opens your mind to the incredible hugeness of the new creation.
Yeah, you may find out what your moral compass is and become honest with yourself and others. But and that's the thing. The gospel is there to reveal you to you. Oh my!
Oh,
I'm not.
Yeah. I'll say that again.
The power of the gospel is there to reveal you to you. If it's going to reveal something, people are always getting revelations about God. Let me tell you, I know less about God right now than I ever knew in my life. But I know more about me than I've ever known in my life. Oh my gosh! And you know what? I'm reconciling me with me. Oh, Barris, I tried to kill myself three times because not because of a deed, but because I could not reconcile me with me. Not because I couldn't reconcile me with God. I could have found some religion that put all this together. I could have become a monk and washed all of my problems behind me and ignored all of it. But let me tell you something. You can monk yourself to death. You can nun yourself to death. You can church yourself to death. You can preacher yourself to death, elder yourself to death, and prophet yourself to death. But there's only one thing that puts to death what needs to be put to death, and that was the blood of Christ. It's dead. Stop struggling with what's already dead. And allow this story to reconcile you with you. Much less, folks, the ability to reconcile you with somebody else is irrelevant to the ability to reconcile you with you. That's when other people get on the radar. It's incomparable. There's no way to even possibly compare these two. It's just not even possible.
Possible to reconcile you with other people.
Yes.
But that's a secondary benefit, isn't it?
Oh, it's secondary, Barris. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I wish that I could, I would love to just expose every thought in my brain to show people how screwed up I am. But to know, let them know I'm at peace with all of that. Oh my gosh. I'm at peace with me. Oh, I don't utter so many of the things that come to my head. I never let out of my mouth. And you should be very grateful for that.
I am.
Because I monitor what I say. I don't have to, everybody doesn't have to know what I'm thinking.
See, you're lucky you're not ADD. I don't have that.
You don't have a filter?
Well, it's sort of like, brakes.
Mm-hmm. You only have an accelerator.
and rarely, even a steering wheel.
Yeah, I hear you. Folks, that's why we do what we do. We love you. I mean, there's a million love songs that come to my mind when I think about you guys. You know, I honestly love you. That's one of the good songs. Goodness. There is a passion here that you would be able to reconcile you with you. Please let the rest of it just grow out of you. Let it be an extension of you, not something you're trying to accomplish externally to feel better about yourself or to satisfy your own sense of guilt, by doing something, because all you're going to do is create something else that has to be taken care of and nurtured that's not you. So do what you do. That's why we say, and I know that it perplexes people sometimes, to follow your heart, live out of your heart. What does that even mean, Michael? You will never know it until you're at peace with you. When you become at peace with you, following your heart's a very easy thing then. But if you're constantly trying to compensate for you, if you're constantly trying to justify yourself, rectify yourself, oh, believe me, there's nobody in the world wouldn't say Michael Williams doesn't need a whole good heap of counseling. Probably true. But I don't need any counseling to rectify me with me. Now, you might want to change some things about me. I may even want to change some things about me. But it's not going to come because I hate me. It's not going to come because I detest me. It's not going to come because I can't resolve this. That's why we turn back, Barris, and say, well, look, God just could never have been this way. Why do we say that? Because we can't accept ourselves. And we're projecting this non-acceptance of ourselves because of our anger, because of our wrath, because of our jealousy, because of our lust, because of our whatever, our greed, whatever it may be. Because we can't accept ourselves as righteous and holy in the presence of any of these things, we have to project that on God and say that, therefore, I cannot, I can never embrace a God like that. Well, a God like that can embrace you in all of that. Why not return the favor? I almost cussed. See, I have to monitor myself. Boy, that's a good place for a good cuss word. But
now, listen. So you took us to the end of the story, and we've been on the end of the story. Tell me that next week you're going to give us the rest of the progression. I mean, tell us you're going to give us
the rest of the story.
Well, we'll get into it. I don't know how much the rest of all of it we could ever declare, Barris.
Well, I'm thinking of the process, the evolution of God, the process through which he went to.
Well, it's a powerful process. So, Barris, let us end this show with this reality. We've got the first of the story and the last of the story nailed down pretty good so far. We see that God created man in his image, and he recreated us, not in his image, but as one with him. So there's no two entities anymore, folks. That's the power of this story. And we'll go back next week, and we're not going to connect the dots. We're going to read the story. We're going to let you see what is in this story. And let me tell you, there's parts of the story that just like the little boy in the novel, boy, it's not pretty. But it doesn't mean it's not part of the story. That's what makes stories powerful.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Remember that the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. Don't forget to visit www.theteacherwithin.com and audio a copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Minniminicky. I'm an Amazon Prime user, and this book is, well, at one stage it was the only five-star product that I've ever seen on Amazon book-wise. It's in the top 1% of all book sales on Amazon? Animal. It's in the top 1% of all book sales on Amazon and is without question the best book touching authentic spirituality I have ever read. We run a value for value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free product. This value for value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So, if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, I'm asking you to seriously consider putting your hand in your pocket and donating towards it. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373. You'll find a listening ear there. His name is Jeffrey Robertson. And remember that you don't have to give cash. There are other ways besides giving money that you can support getting the gospel out into the world. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area. It's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number I just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and we'll make it happen. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971. and leave a voicemail or just email freedom@gospelrevolution.com. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartler, from the GR Studios in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Michael Williams right here in, once again, beautiful Houston, Texas. But, oh, my gosh, the mosquitoes are going to be bad this summer. So thank you guys so very much. We are still in pledge drive, so think about what you want to do. The only people, and I will say this to my own peril and to the peril of the finances of the Gospel Revolution, the only people who have an unction to give into this work, it is indeed those who want to help other people. There's no other reason, folks. I'd love to tell you that God's going to multiply it back to you. I'd love to tell you, you know, Beres and the guys are going to send you out some things to hang on your wall. But other than that, the only reason really for your motivation to do this is what you just heard on this PowerCast. You really do believe the whole world needs to hear it. We love you guys. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Even better.
Mate, that was probably one of the slickest PowerCasts we've recorded.
Mm.
That was good.
Oh, it felt good, that's for sure.
Didn't it? Yeah.
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 And that's the reason for me is that I get the story in perspective. I get the big picture. That's where I understand. That's where I teach from. And that's where all this flows. It just doesn't work for me to micromanage these things. I've got to see the big picture. This picture is such a beautiful thing, as you know, Beres. Goodness gracious. We are two very fortunate dudes.
How lucky.
On this planet.
Mm.
I can't even imagine that I would have ever gotten more joy out of life than what I just did with you.
I'm going to leave it right there and be nourished with that thought all day long. I love you, Michael Williams. Thank you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm happy.
You can be happy too.
If you
praise the Lord and send me the money, that's what Jesus wants you to do.
Late one night while watching Columbo, I fell asleep till 3:15, when just like a vision I thought I was dreaming. I heard the voice of a man on TV. He said,
praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm happy.
You can be happy too.
If you
praise the Lord and send me the money, that's what Jesus wants you to do.
I sit straight up and reach for my checkbook, trembling with guilt, took my big pen in hand. I wrote out the figures of 1 and 4 zeros, went out and mailed it with a note to that man, and I said,
praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. I surely want to be happy like you. Praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. If that's what Jesus wants me to do.
I woke up late for work the next morning. I could not believe what I'd done. Wrote a hot check to Jesus for $10,000. And my bank account only held 31. I got a second job at a gasoline station. I'm saving my money to pay what I owe. I don't get much sleep cause I stay up late watching all of the folks on the Lord's TV show saying,
praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm so happy.
You can be happy too.
If you
praise the Lord and send me the money, that's what Jesus wants you to do. Praise the Lord,
I'm sending the money.
Gospel Revolution.